Hallelujah. The young man that we're about to bring to the pulpit, I believe perfectly exemplifies what this church is. I've watched him for the last 8 years or so. Every time the pastor's asked him to do something, he's been faithful. He's been diligent. He's a Bible study teacher. And Bible studies are the heartbeat of this church. He's a worshiper, and worship is the heartbeat of this church. I want to let you know, I believe God has spoken to me and told me that he's birthing a new wave. What you're seeing happen in these young men is an extension of what's happening in this church. The word of God, the plan of God works one generation declaring his glory to another. It is my pleasure. I am so glad tonight to bring Brother Antoine Irvin to the pulpit. Come and preach to us. Tell us what thus saith the word of God.
Would you get that hand clap to the Lord right now? Oh, come on. I hope you didn't come to see a show. He's worthy in this house tonight. Come on, offer up some high praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. He's worthy in this place tonight. Come on, somebody. He brought you out. He is your way maker. He is your deliverance. He is... Come on, give him some high worship for just a moment here tonight. We've come to glorify the name of the Lord. It is such a privilege to address you from this pulpit here tonight. I've grown up here, and most of you know my flaws and my faults, but you also understand that there's nothing good in me but him, and I'm just here to be a vessel, to allow him to use me, to allow him to flow through me, to speak a word to this precious, precious people. And it is such a privilege and such an honor for me to be able to do that here tonight. But there are a couple of things I want to establish here before we start. There's a little business I need to take care of. I want you to know, as a church, I want Birmingham to know, and I want hell to know, that I'm here under the authority of my pastor, and we are not passing this truth to a weak, no backbone, pitiful excuse for an apostolic. I want you to know that the standards that this church has taken by the word of God will be preached in this next generation. I want you to know that this generation will take hold of this truth. There's one Lord in heaven, and that's the end of the matter. We baptize exclusively in the name of Jesus because it's what the Bible has said. I want you to know that you're not passing this truth to a generation that's going to change things up. Stephen, you said that, and I heard it last night in prophecy, that it's time for a new wave. It's time for something new, but not new in a sense. What was it? Novel. But we're preaching from the word of old. We're not going to alter this word. I'm here to lay the groundwork for the revival that we're about to have for the next 2 weeks. Don't tell your friends, hey, come on. Well, I guess come on, the pastor's out of town, but it should be all right. No, we're having revival these next 2 weeks. I'm expecting a great outpouring. I'm expecting God to do something miraculous. Oh, I hope you've come expecting something. A touch from him. I'm going to take my text tonight from Exodus chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. I want you to know something tonight, that as I prepared, after the pastor talked to me about doing this service, as I began to prepare, I had something in mind, but the Holy Ghost wouldn't let me do that. And so, if it was up to me, I'd be preaching a whole different message tonight. But I want to be obedient more than I'm looking for the favor of man here tonight. I want to be obedient to his spirit. Amen? Man, I love the church. Oh, I really, really love the church. Beautiful, beautiful. Let's look at Exodus chapter 12, In verse 1, I want to apologize here tonight for the lengthy reading, but I feel it's necessary. Let's read here, Exodus chapter 12, and beginning in verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, 'On the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roast it in fire and unleavened bread, and with the bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it at all with water, but roast it in fire, and its head with its legs and all the other stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, all the other stuff. The pleasant and the unpleasant. The word says in verse 10, you shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning, you shall burn with fire. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 12, for I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Israel, or of Egypt, I'm sorry, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. I want to talk to you for a few moments under the title or the thought, Sunday's Coming. You would put your Bibles down, and if you're thankful for his word that is forever established in the heavens, would you give him some worship right now, God? We thank you, God, for your word that's unchangeable, God, unshakable. God, I pray that you would allow it to strike our hearts here tonight, God. Minister, God, to our hearts, God. Don't allow us to leave the way that we came, God, but change something in us, oh God. Pray it all in the name of Jesus. Everybody say in Jesus' name. Now, the group on Monday night will let you know that if you'll help me, we won't be here too long. And at least that's what we always say. We're reading here tonight some instruction that God has given to the people, his people. They have been in captivity for generations. They've been in bondage for generations. And he's talking to them about their deliverance. He's talking to them about the thing that needs to be done to come out of what they're in. They heard the instructions. And Dawson, they followed the instructions. They had to follow them to the T. You see, they went out of Egypt eventually after God ministered and worked that situation there in Egypt. And they went out down a road. But I'd like to suggest to you here tonight that their deliverance was not found in the road that led them out of Egypt. But their deliverance was found in following the word of God. Their deliverance was found in following it to the T. Now, hear me tonight. There are churches all over this city, yea, all over this nation, that have church on the door. But when it comes to following the word of God to the T, they fall just short. I want you to understand that you're not valid unless you line up with the word of God. You can call yourself the church, But if it doesn't line up with the word of God, Brother Ted, it's not the church. It doesn't matter how good your Sunday school program is. It doesn't matter how good your music is. It doesn't matter how effective your bus ministry is. You're not the church if it doesn't line up with the word of God. And I want you to know something tonight, that you're in a church that's going to be established, that's established as a beacon of truth in this city tonight. If nobody else will follow the word, we'll follow the word to the T. Not a popularity contest. Not interested in the favor of man. Give me Jesus and all that that means. You can't alter this word. You can't change this word. You can't get this custom tailored to fit your situation and what you've got going on. It's not what feels good and what fits your situation, Dawson, but it wasn't the road that gave them deliverance. It was following the letter. Religion has not saved a single soul. It's not enough. Tradition hasn't saved a single soul. It's not enough. But it takes relationship. A relationship with his word. It's the only thing that will suffice. It's the only thing that would be that won't leave you in wanting. It's the only thing that will minister to your situation. The only thing that will bring you out is to follow the word. Somebody needs to say what God has said here tonight. I don't know where you're at tonight. You may be sick in your body, but say what the word of God has said. God is a healer. Your back may be against the wall, but say what God has said. I'll deliver to the utmost. Deliverance is not found in the motions. It's not found in being at church every Sunday. No, though those things are necessary, the road was necessary, but it wasn't the delivering factor in their life. Hear me tonight. There are churches all over this city that have compromised the word of God. There are churches all over this city that have custom tailored the word of God to fit their theology, to fit their sociology, to fit their own beliefs. They're selling counterfeit goods. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Is this okay tonight? Says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. He's giving a warning here tonight. He's giving a warning. He's saying, don't get caught up in tradition. Don't get caught up in all those things. There are churches. Come on, somebody. I need a little bit of help here tonight. The Roman Catholic Church has history to back it up. But what it takes is the word of God. History's not enough. Tradition. It's not enough. It's simply not enough. But it takes the blood to cover. He said, Israel, when I see the blood, God, when I see the blood, destruction won't come to your house. You couldn't half step this. He said, eat the whole thing. Joshua said, roast it in fire. Sounds like a barbecue. I'm all for that. But then he said, put in the bitter herbs. Who enjoys putting bitter herbs on their nicely roasted meat? It's not a favorable thing. But it takes the whole Word of God. You need all of it. Picking and choosing won't do. It's going to be holes all in your deal there. It's not going to hold water. It's not going to be enough when the night comes. When the night comes, your family won't be covered. You can go through the process of picking the lamb without a blemish. You can go through the process of roasting the lamb. But if you don't add the bitter herbs when the night comes, it's not going to be enough. It's a blanket that's too short. Simply inadequate. But it takes the whole. Look at your neighbor and say, it takes the whole Word of God. You can't pick and choose. You can't pick this apart. You can't pick favorites. You can't make stands like I'll take Jesus' words over Peter. You'll find yourself in wanting. Some people want just enough of God to get by, but not enough to go to war. But it takes all of the Word of God. Hear me tonight. I know this is a simplistic word. This is what the Holy Ghost wanted to do tonight. I had a whole nother message, a nice cute little message put together for y'all. But God wouldn't let me preach it. So this is what you got. He said you need the blood over the doorpost. He says when I see the blood. And people will tell you right now, baptism is optional. It's just a show of faith. You don't have to be baptized. Mark 16:16 disagrees. You've got to have the whole Word of God. Where's the blood applied? Where's the blood applied? Somebody help me. In baptism. Sing an old song. What can wash a... away my sins, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What you need to understand tonight is that you can't take sin into the presence of a holy God. You see, God doesn't hate the person, he hates the sin. And so in order to take your situation, that situation that arises in a desperate hour, in the darkest hour of the night, you're not big enough to take care of it. You're not big enough to handle that situation. As smart as you are, your intellect's not going to be enough. As good looking as you are, your looks aren't going to be enough. But you need a God to intervene in your situation. But you can't come in until you take care of the sin, until you separate yourself from the sin. You see how it works. You can't pick and choose. You can't just throw baptism out of the window and God has placed value on it. It won't be enough. Your little substitute won't be enough. You'll find yourself in wanting. Noah! I want you to build a boat. Here are the specifications. Here are the instructions. I want you to build a boat. This is how I want you to do it. People that study boats now, that are professional in that type of stuff, they've looked at the instructions that God gave Noah for the boat. And they've realized that had it been any taller, it would have capsized. And had it been any longer, it would have broken in two pieces. Had Noah compromised the instructions that God had given him. In the heat of the moment, he would have found himself in wanting. He would have found himself lacking. It would have been a disaster. Was it God's plan? Absolutely, it was God's plan. But when you compromise the instructions, you compromise the plan, and it's not valid any longer. The only thing that caused that boat to float, the time it needed to float, is because God's instructions were implemented. He didn't compromise. He didn't use a different type of wood. He didn't make the boards any longer or any shorter, but he did it the way that God wanted it to be done. And the Bible says that they were saved on that day. Can't compromise his word. You've got to embrace the whole word of God. You've got to embrace every bit of it, every part of it, the favorable and the unfavorable, the good parts and the bitter. It takes the whole word of God. It takes the whole word of God. Why is this important? Why is this important? Let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 32. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. It said, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is in your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Adrian, God wants to give you the kingdom. But in order to receive the kingdom, you've got to learn how to please him. You see, the kingdom of God is a precious, precious thing. And he doesn't just throw it out on anybody. But as you please him, he can pour out the kingdom in your life. Yeah, I'm talking to you, apostolic. I'm talking to you, Holy Ghost filled, saint of God. Abraham compromised the instruction and almost lost his family. He was in covenant. But it was still important to follow the letter of the law. It was still important that he listened to every word that God has spoken to him. Don't take your family. Abraham, don't take your family. It was only the grace of God that situation was turned around. But I need for you to understand that you are not exempt from this word here tonight. Whether you're in covenant or you don't know God from a hole in the ground, God's promises are sure. But the only way that his promises are poured out is if you embrace the whole word of God. The promises of God are sure. They're sure. God's spoken some things in your life. But if you get outside of this process, if you begin to compromise this word, it's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. But it takes embracing the whole word of God to see the promises of God in your life. Yeah, you're sitting on a pew tonight, but what is that thing that you've held on to? What's that thing that you told God, this much and no more? God, I'll let you in this part of my heart, but this area, leave it alone, God. Don't touch that area. Takes the whole word of God. Also, it's my heart intent to please him. I like you. I want favor with you. But it's not going to bring the kingdom into my life alone by having your favor. I love this church. But more than I want to impress you, I want the word of God and the kingdom of God to be poured out in my life. I want to please him. Young people, I know you feel the pressure. I know you feel the pressure of the day to compromise. I don't know if some of you older people know, but right now church is a fad. To be in church is the cool thing to do, to be connected to a spirit-filled place and have all the heebie-jeebies, ooh, have the spirit moving. But no conviction, no standards, no Jesus' name. Help me, Holy Ghost. Places all over this city. You can go and the music is thumping and it's thriving and it's a cool place to be. Holy Ghost is moving, or you can feel the goosebumps. It's gotten popular and it's grown and people are flocking to it and it's got national attention. But if the basement's not lined up with the word of God, it's not the church. I don't know if you understand. I feel the pressure to be a part of that movement as a young preacher, but I want you to understand that I won't compromise this word. I'm going to preach the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. It's the only thing that'll last. It's the only thing that'll heal your sick baby when you're worried about it. It's the only thing that's going to provide in your hour of need. It's the whole word of God. Nothing less will do. Solomon did what was permissible. He didn't follow this thing as strongly as the man before him did, as his father did it. And while I'm on this, something Cody Marks talked about is that, young person, there is a danger in your spiritual father loving this word with everything in him, and you to only love parts of it. There's a danger for you to come just short of the passion of a man before you. There is a danger in that place. But we've got to take this truth. Stephen said it tonight. The kingdom of God is one generation declaring it to another. And so when you get this truth, Mario, you've got to preach it. You can't compromise it. It's got to be the whole word of God. You can't look at it and say, oh, I think we can do without that. Those old timers didn't know what they were talking about. You need to hear me tonight. Anything else will be simply inadequate. It won't be enough. Is this okay tonight? I'm trying to tell you tonight. Is that anything less than the whole word of God? It's not going to be enough. You're going to find yourself wanting. No, you can't compromise the instruction. Israel, you can't shortcut it. But you've got to embrace the whole word of God. I know what I'm preaching is not popular. I know it's not popular. I know this is basic, fundamental Pentecostal preaching, but I want you to know something tonight. The Holy Ghost sent me here tonight to let somebody know that in order for you to find the place of victory, you've got to embrace the whole word of God.
It doesn't matter what tradition has told you. It doesn't matter what historians have told you. I don't care what they've got to say. I don't care what the philosophers of the world have to say. Give me Jesus. I've got to have his word, his whole truth. You can go to the doctors. You can go to the professionals. You can go and take your family there to remedy the problems you've got. I want you to understand something tonight, that it'll simply be a temporary solution, that you won't find deliverance until you embrace this word. Nothing else is going to do. Nothing else will be enough. Nothing else will be adequate. Solomon did what was permissible. He didn't follow it like his father did. He didn't embrace it with the zeal and passion that his father embraced it. He looked in all these venues. He married many wives. He went out and embraced everything the world had to offer. He was rich upon rich upon rich. And he looked through the different venues. Hear me tonight. That at the end of the day, he said, it's all vanity. It's not enough. At the end of the day, he still wasn't satisfied. At the end of the day, he was searching for something more. At the end of the day, he was looking for something to make the difference, because he found himself in wanting, because he didn't embrace the whole word of God. But he saw what he could get by with. He saw what he could lay by the side and still have a moving of the Spirit. He saw what he can lay down and still have God come and talk to him. He saw what he could do without.
But I want to ask this church, don't lay it down. Next generation, preach it harder and stronger than a generation before. You see, there is a decline that happens, that begins to set in when it's passed to the next generation. Because maybe they don't have the same value that the first generation had. And so it's necessary for us to continue. It's necessary for us to preach this harder. It's necessary for us to have a firm stand. Because without it, decline happens. And a generation goes by, and a generation goes by, and a generation goes by, and next thing you know, it doesn't even look like the church anymore. I'm just a young man. But I want my grandkids to have this truth, to be able to embrace this truth with the same passion as Brother Sutton. The only way that's going to happen is if we make our minds up right now in this transition, that we're going to embrace the whole word of God, that we're going to be more apostolic than ever, that Jesus' name is going to continue to be the only way we do business. Until we make it a point that he's the one in heaven. There is no other. There's only one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There's not three. Trinity is a man idea. There you go. Don't talk to me about it. Talk to the Roman Catholic Church. They'll tell you themselves. They designed it as they merged with the culture of the day. The apostles were monotheistic. They believed that there was one God of heaven.
and that no one stood by his side. I want to declare tonight that this is a oneness church. And it's going to stay that way. It takes the whole word of God. My heartbeat is to please him. I won't find my solution. I won't find my answer in a systematic plan of coming to church and not embracing the word of God. It won't be enough. You can come and be a part, but if you don't embrace his word for yourself, it won't be enough. Young person, you can't make it in on your mama's anointing. You can't make it in on Brother Sutton's anointing. Hear me tonight. But at some point, you've got to embrace this whole word. It's got to become your experience. It was necessary. The word is necessary. Everything, all the instructions that he gave Noah, they were necessary, Dawson. They were absolutely necessary. The instructions he gave the people of Israel as they begin to leave, as they begin the great Exodus, it was all necessary. Psalm chapter 22. Somebody take the kid to the bathroom. Psalm chapter 22. And verse 14. Man, this feels like a Monday night. They've got my Savior on a cross. But before that, Friday happened. The gross, grotesque, untasteful events of Friday took place. Let's read chapter 22, verse 14. He says, I'm poured out like water and my bones are all... they're all out of joint here. He says, my heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. He's having congestive heart failure. There is, he's hanging on the crosses. There's fluid around his heart, and his heart's trying to beat in that fluid. And so he's having congestive heart failure. He says, my strength is dried up. He's dehydrated on the cross. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. They've brought me to the dust of death. He's about to give up the ghost. He says, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked have enclosed around me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothes. This awesome and grotesque event was necessary for the victorious Sunday morning that we shout about and that we are excited about. The King has risen. The King is alive. He's risen. But not without Friday first taking place. You see, it takes the whole process to get to victory. You see, I'm here tonight and I'm living for God because he died on a cross, because he was rose from the dead. But Sunday morning, as awesome and as amazing as it was, it wasn't possible. It wouldn't have been possible if Friday hadn't have taken place. You can't just jump to him rising from the dead. It didn't work that way. It's not natural. It's not the process that he intended. Adrian, but for you to have eternal life, Friday was necessary. To my friend that only likes to have the part of God that's convenient. To my friend that likes to have the part of God that's good and it's warm and it gives you that tingly feeling on the inside. Feel goodism, it's not going to be enough, but it takes the grotesque events of Friday coupled with the risen Savior on Sunday. Who are you tonight? What's going on tonight? Tell me about the events that life's throwing at you. Tell me about the heartache that you experience or have experienced in your lifetime. I want you to know that there is no greatness without first there being pain. That you can't be victorious without a valley experience. There's no mountaintop without a valley experience. There's no victory without there being a battle. There's no rainbow without there first being rain. This process. Embrace this process. And that when the hour is dark, you understand. And if you embrace the word of God, embrace the process that God has set forth, Sunday is coming for your situation. Don't be discouraged, young person. Sunday's coming. Embrace the word and Sunday's coming. Don't be downhearted if you're broken in your body, if you're without in your body, because if you embrace the word, Sunday is coming. How do you spin the dash? How do you spin Saturday? What happens Saturday and Saturday night? You're embracing the word. You're believing in the process that God has established. Somebody needs to be reminded of what God has said about your situation. Because you see, this works both ways. You've got to embrace the word. You embrace the word. You embrace the process. And God can undo the scroll for your life. The thing that he has planned to do in your life. When you embrace the word and the process, God can begin to work those things in your life. But not until then. Not until you embrace the word. Not until Friday happens. At that point, Sunday can then take place. I don't know how dark your hour is. I don't know what you're up against. But take heart. Tonight, saint of God, take heart tonight, apostolic, that if you embrace the whole word of God, Sunday is coming. Friday's necessary, but Sunday's coming. Friday is painful, but Sunday, my friend, is coming. Friday hurts. The scars will still be there. He's still got the nail prints in his hand. But friend of mine, Sunday is coming. So where are you tonight? You check the decisions that you're making on a day-to-day. Make sure they're lining up with the word of God. That thing that you're holding on to. That thing that you're holding close to the vest. Can you let it go so that Sunday can take place? Maybe Saturday's waiting on you to embrace the process. Maybe the sun can't rise until you do what the word of God has said for your life. Tradition, again, won't do it. History, having the backup of history, it won't do it. Your intellect will not be enough. But God came down, robed himself in flesh, and died the death of a sinner so that you could have eternal life. He embraced the whole process so that you could have eternal life. The only way you're going to find a place of victory is embracing the word and embracing the process. It takes the whole word of God. It takes the whole process. Give them hope. Friday was an ugly, ugly thing. But it feels so good to be able to shout over Sunday. It feels so good to be able to stand in that place of victory. Yeah, I've been hurt. Yeah, I've been beat up. Yeah, I've been broken. Yes, I've embraced some hard things. But I'm so glad to know that Sunday is finally on the horizon. It's finally on the horizon. You've got an opportunity tonight to embrace the whole word of God. The Bible declares that salvation is found. So get John 3:5. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." You can't say, "I want to be born of the water, and I'll leave the spirit alone." That's not embracing the whole word of God. The Bible says that you can't see the kingdom of heaven. You can't see the kingdom of God. So what do you got to do? You've got to embrace the whole word. If you want to see the kingdom of God, you got to be born of the water and of the spirit. You can't pick one over the other. You can't say, "I'll embrace the spirit, but the water is optional." That's not embracing the word of God. If y'all wouldn't stand tonight, bringing this to a close. I have completely wrecked this message. I did not come here tonight to just be a preacher. But I came tonight to reach the heart of some person here tonight. This may rebel against everything that you've been taught, everything that you've known. But at the end of the day, I don't want to stake my salvation on my trust in a preacher. But I want my salvation to be staked in the word of God. When I stand before him, I want to know that I've done everything I can to embrace the whole word of God. It starts right here. Establishing a covenant with him. He said, "Embrace the word of God. You've got to be born of the water and of the spirit." Let's look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 37. Y'all can gather around the front here tonight if you're interested in embracing his word, embracing his whole truth, embracing what he's spoken into your life. Says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Peter had just preached about a 200-word message to these people. He just preached to them that you crucified the Messiah, the one that you've been waiting for, the one that you've been waiting on for generations and generations. You just crucified him. And when they heard these words, the Bible says that they were pricked in their heart. They're about to embrace the gospel. They're about to embrace the whole word of God. But they first had to be cut to the heart. They first had to be pierced in their hearts. This is not salvation on an intellectual level, but it's salvation that digs deep. It's established by the word of God. Let's read verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, turning away from your sins. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the titles. Be baptized, every one of you, in the way that you want to do it. No. He said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission or the washing away of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You can embrace his word tonight. You can embrace his truth tonight. You may be standing here tonight frustrated because you looked in other venues. You may be standing here tonight angry because you haven't found what you're searching for. But if I could somehow compel you, embrace the whole word of God. Allow it to penetrate your heart. Allow it to penetrate your soul. And God can move in that situation. That situation is not too hard for God. That situation is not too difficult for God to move. But if you'll embrace the whole word of God, then God can minister your situation. Would you link up with somebody there beside you and just declare, I'm going to protect this truth. I'm going to embrace this truth. Oh, come on. If you're thankful for the truth that brought you salvation, if you're thankful for the truth that you've been able to lean on, would you give up some worship right now? If there's somebody around you that needs the Holy Ghost, would you pray with them tonight? Let them know what he's done for you. Let him know how he's brought you out. Press into that for just a moment. Come on, church, be sensitive right now. Is anything too hard for God? Is anything too hard for God? Come on, press into that right now. God's able to touch that situation. God's able to minister in the middle of that mess that's going on. Right now, come on, express it right now. Don't be quick to move through this moment. Thank you.
something here? Won't you tomorrow? I think it was Brother Sutton that just talked about this. Let's implement this. Let's do this. Tomorrow, when you get to the job, when you get to the school, there's when you get to your first stop, I want you to say, I come in the name of Jesus. When you get to the office tomorrow, I want you to say, I come in the name of Jesus. Church, we have got to be apostolic. We cannot be ashamed of this gospel. For it is the power of God to salvation. But if we'll actively be apostolic, there is no telling what God can do in these next few weeks or months, times to come. Amen? So let's do that. Once more, if you would, clap your hands unto the Lord. If you're thankful for His word and His truth. Ah, God. It's precious. Come on, somebody. Buy the truth and sell it. Not if that was for me, it'd be all right here. Once more before we leave this place. Can we give Him some high worship? Can we give Him some high praise here tonight? Jesus, we're thankful for Your truth, oh God, that reigns supreme, God. Your word that is unchangeable, God. Unshakable, oh God. Well, to greet somebody, love somebody before you leave the house tonight. So excited about what God's doing here in these next few weeks. I want you to come. Let's be here for prayer at 6:30. That'll do something miraculous.
Thank you. Thank you.